Welcome to this week's episode of the March for Eternity podcast, where we bring you biblical truth on topics such as marriage, family, and ministry. This episode is made possible by the Ultra Global Partners. To find out more information about the Ultra Global, please go to theultraglobal.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Here are your hosts, Jeremiah and Paul Johnson.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Mark for Eternity. It's Jeremiah and Paul here. We're excited to continue our discussion about the restoration of the church and specifically the fivefold ministry. Bro, I've been having so much fun with you talking about all this.
Yeah, man, it's exciting, Paul. I just constantly run into people who are hungry for more language, more content, want to learn more. Again, man, I just honor you. Thank you for laboring. You know, I'm glad on this podcast, we're at a church, we're church planters, we're laboring, we have staffs. Like, this isn't just like another podcast of two people talking about stuff. They don't even have any practical, any fruit. You know, I'm just hopeful that as we're laboring here for the kingdom of God, as we're doing what he's called us to do, that people could not only hear revelation and hear language, but there's evident fruit of the outworking of the Holy Spirit. And again, I just want to say we'd love to connect with pastors and leaders, yep, apostles, prophets, teachers. If you're here, you're feeling like, man, I want to connect. You guys are helping me. We'd love to hear from you. Please contact us.
Yeah, it's so good. We'd love to talk with you and get to know you and just build relationships. So it is exciting. I feel a joy in my spirit. I mean, honestly, I feel the pleasure of the Lord. I'm so excited that at least people are talking about it. At least there's a conversation and a discussion going. I mean, for me, I'm like, I'm sure we're not doing it all right, but you know, at least we're trying.
Yeah.
At least we're in the fight. At least we're fleshing it out and trying to figure it out and trying to discern from the Lord as seeking wisdom on, hey, how does this work? Because really, man, for me, Jared, and I know you have the same heart in this, is that I just want to do it God's way.
Yeah.
I want to do church God's way because it's his church.
Yeah.
It belongs to him. I mean, I grieve at the expressions of ministry and church that are in the earth today where I'm like, did you just make that up? I mean, I feel like we have taken a liberty and a freedom to literally make stuff up.
Yeah.
And just call it whatever and slap a biblical word on it or a verse. And it's like, that's not Bible.
Yeah.
That's not God. And I think it's kind of a wide berth that we give ourselves as spirit-filled people where we make a departure from the word, where we don't want to be held fast to, you know, hey, show me that in the Bible. You're using all these words and all this language and all this stuff. And it's like, listen, the minute that you begin to depart and drift, the minute that you open that door from not being biblically rooted and grounded and established, and it's funny because it's like people are like, oh, well, that's not for today. And it's like, well, no, actually, sola scriptura is why I believe in the fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
Sola scriptura is the reason why I know that the gifts of the Spirit are for today because it's in the Word, and the amount of mental and spiritual and hermeneutical gymnastics that you have to do to squirrel out of the present ministry and gifts of the Spirit today is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I say a lot, God's doing a new thing, but it's an old thing. Right. You know, there's a new era. It's called the Bible. You know, if God, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth who said, one day God's going to find a people who are just going to read the Bible and do what it says. And really, that's the call, you know, that we're trying to bring clarity. We're trying to bring practical fruit to what we're doing. You know, you have a works there in Indianapolis. We have a work here in Kannapolis, North Carolina. I mean, this stuff is being practiced. It's being taught. You know, everything that we're going after in the realm of apostles and prophets, you know, I'm traveling around the world. You know, Paul, you're beginning to travel more. I mean, there's a hunger. You know, there's a, I think the global pandemic really shook a lot of people. I think it really exposed entertainment Christianity. I mean, there are pockets of people, again, house churches, I mean, whatever the expression is, people are really trying to grasp a New Testament way of doing things. And just exciting to be alive in the earth today.
Yeah, it's thrilling. So, Jared, let's continue to unpack and distinguish for people the ministries, because we know there's a lot of confusion. I definitely want to continue to talk and break down apostles in particular. Yep. I think there's the most confusion about apostles, right? Because it's like, well, prophets prophesy, teachers teach, evangelists evangelize, and shepherds shepherd, but apostles...
Yeah.
Apostolize, what does that mean? What do apostles do? Who are they?
Yeah, maybe I'll comment a little bit on prophets and prophetic ministry, you know, because that's so much of the lane that I function in. You know, you had mentioned on an earlier episode that there is a difference between New Testament and Old Testament prophets. And I believe that serious damage is being done in the body of Christ over the misunderstanding between the role of Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets. You know, when you look in the Old Testament prophets, they uniquely carried the voice of God. They were the voice of God to kings, to people.
I mean, they were, in essence, mediating on behalf of a nation and God. And you know,
you'd go to a prophet. What's God saying? And then, you know, you would go on your way. Well, all of a sudden, Christ comes, and we've referenced him. He's the greatest prophet who ever lived, right? So Christ comes, and he makes a way. He becomes the mediator between God and man. And then the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit rested upon people in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit fills us, and that we can all know the Lord. So I tell people, first of all, the difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet is a New Testament prophet does not have the same authority that Old Testament prophets do. So honestly, Paul, it's sort of funny. People are like, where are the Ezekiels? And where I'm like, they're dead. Mm-hmm. Like all of those brothers had a role in the body of Christ that they no longer, we don't need them in that kind of capacity anymore because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, Paul, I think that people don't understand in the New Testament, prophecy from prophets and from prophetic people needs to be judged. 1 Corinthians 14, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, let everything be done in decency and order. It says, don't despise prophecy, hold on to that which is good. It's inferring there could be some that's bad. So a lot of times people believe like New Testament prophecy is 100% inerrant. I could not disagree more. In the New Testament, why are we judging and weighing prophecy if it's 100% from God?
Correct.
There's no need to do that. And so they'll quote in Deuteronomy, it says, if a false prophet prophesies, stone them. And I'm like, we're not living in that covenant anymore. Now, again, should we strive for 100% accuracy among prophets? Absolutely. But I know some prophets that function very highly in the prophetic gift. They believe that mature prophets are somewhere around 60 to 70% accurate. And again, I know it's like, oh, what? No, they're a false prophet. Again, Christ has taken the role and the place. We should be looking to Christ to our future.
Yeah.
We should be following the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord if a prophet gives you a word that you can judge and test and hear from the Lord. But I just think there's a lot of confusion in the earth today over the role of prophets in particular. Again, prophets as a gift to the bodies. They carry seasonal burdens for the body through dreams and visions. They don't try to prophesy. Their life is a prophecy.
That's good.
And oftentimes what distinguishes prophets from just gifts of prophecy is that prophets have gone through the wilderness. There are things that have been pressed and crushed out of prophets in order for them to be able to carry the heart of God. So I hope that's helpful for some people. We don't play the role. Prophets don't play the role or carry the authority that Old Testament prophets do. And then secondly, these are not people that should be held to 100% accuracy rate.
Right. And that doesn't mean we don't hold prophets accountable for what they prophesy.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that when prophets miss it, they don't need to repent. They do. But I think that the old covenant understanding, I mean, you know, it's like you ask people, have you ever changed your mind about anything you've taught? Like, would that make you a false teacher?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that a lot of that is the religious spirit, man, that wants to chase prophets down into caves and crush them. But
well, what would you say about apostolic ministry? To talk to us a little bit about apostles.
Yeah, so I mean, apostles are foundation layers. Apostles are they're humble, they're servants of Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man regard us as this, as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. I think that apostles are, they're architects. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 3:10, apostles are wise master builders. They carry blueprints and insights into how to build the house of God properly and in order. Apostles are also ambassadors, right? Paul called himself an ambassador in chains. They bring the ministry of Christ. I mean, I believe that one of the foremost, the revelation of Christ is key to really rightly identifying apostles. They have insight and wisdom into who Christ is, of course, into the fatherhood of God, because apostles, right? Paul tells them, you have many teachers, but few fathers, but I became your father through the gospel. So apostles that don't plant churches, that don't have spiritual sons and daughters, that aren't raising other people up, that don't walk in humility and revelation, I just don't buy that you're an apostle. You might be a great soul winner. You might be a good teacher. But I think, again, trying to bring distinction to the ministries is important. Why? So that we can all get in our lane.
Yeah.
So that we can all understand our assignment. I mean, you were talking earlier about people that religion grabs a hold of them. They're an apostle. They plant a church. But then religion says you have to pastor that church.
Right.
It's like, no, if you're apostolic, plant the church, lay foundation, and then set in elders, which is a part of the role of apostles.
Yeah.
Set in elders to shepherd and care for the flock of God so that you can continue to function foundationally in the Lord's body. What if the Lord called you, graced you as an apostle, and wanted you to plant 5 churches in your lifetime? Well, how would you plant other churches if you end up pastoring the first one you plant?
100%.
Hello, somebody, I pray, just got free.
Yep.
Through that. So I think apostolic ministry, there's the least clarity and the most confusion about it. And I think the whole overlord apostolic elitism is a huge cancer in the church, right? We say apostles are first. You're not first on the podium. You're first in the process. You're not first in significance. You're first in sequence. You're first in the building order so that you lay Christ and you build up other ministries. I mean, Jared, what I believe about apostolic ministry in the earth today is that quite literally the destiny and the call of apostles is wrapped up in the destiny and call of others.
Yeah.
So apostles, healthy apostles, are getting behind prophets and championing them, and getting behind teachers and evangelists and shepherds and other apostles, and fathering and bringing the fatherhood of God, the impartation of his fatherhood and his love and his presence into other people, saying, hey, you can do it. You have this grace. And they root them on and they raise them up. You know, we know that Paul had sons.
Yeah.
We know that Paul had not just sons, but he had sons who were active in the work of the ministry. He had sons who were active and serving not just him, but serving the church.
Yeah.
And he was sending them, and they were his delegates, his representatives of, this is the ministry of Christ. He's modeled and demonstrated my way among you so you can follow him. He's trustworthy. I mean, there's so much to say about apostles, but I do want to, in making distinctions for people, talk about the scope or the sphere of the different ministries. Now, when we talk about this, we are talking about Metron, we are talking about influence, we are talking about how the Lord uses them, but I want to try to simplify it and just use these two words, okay? They're mobilized and localized.
Okay.
I am not saying that mobilized is better than localized. Everybody idolizes itinerant traveling ministry.
It's not that
great. I think we could both say it's really not that great. It's not a point of arrival. Honestly, I know I would personally prefer to be home with my boys and my family and with my church family. And I mean, that's me, but the Lord has asked me to travel and increase that more recently. Feels like everybody has all of a sudden found my phone number or something. I know it's God and I have to go. I've given him my yes, but I want to try to clarify mobilized or localized, right? So let's talk about apostles. Are apostles mobilized or localized? Apostles are mobilized. If apostles are localized, it's for a season.
Correct.
It's for a time. We know that Paul spent, let's say, 3 years in Ephesus, 18 months in Corinth, 3 months other places. I mean, my gosh, there is record in the New Testament that Paul planted churches or churches popped up through his ministry, and we don't have any record that he was actually even there.
Yeah.
I mean, so he was sent. To be an apostle is to be a sent one. They're on the go. There's a mobilization. Why? Because apostles are carrying a burden for the wider body of the Lord Jesus, so they have to be on the go.
Yep.
For prophets, I believe that prophets are both mobilized and localized. I think you have some prophets that have more of a localized grace. Yep. You have some prophets that are mobilized. Jeremiah, view you as a mobilized traveling prophet. You're stirred up. You carry a burden for the nations. I remember words spoken over you as a boy about yep. prophesying to the nations, God giving you the name Jeremiah, all of that. So you're a mobilized traveling prophet, but I also believe it's both. In prophetic ministry, that there are localized prophets who are a part of a body, who begin to carry the word of the Lord for the house, who prophesy and provide insight into, hey, this is what the Lord is doing here, and that's really their sphere, and that's a blessing, and we need that.
Yep.
For evangelists, whether they're localized or immobilized, I believe, again, it's both. Depending on the measure of grace that's given to them. So you might have an evangelist. I mean, Reinhard Bonnke,
yep.
Billy Graham, those were mobilized evangelists. They would fill stadiums. And like you said, the attraction of crowds. People are attracted to evangelists. The lost have this like insatiable desire to get around them. They said that about Steve Hill.
Yes.
At Brownsville in Pensacola in the 90s. I mean, amazing stuff. So I think for evangelists, there's mobilized and localized. You could have an evangelist who is localized. They have a local prison ministry. They have a food truck that they're feeding the homeless in their city out of, and they're stationed there. And this is all just by God's grace. It's by his will.
Yeah.
It's by his design. We're not at all saying one's better than the other. We're just saying you need to know the grace that God has given you so that you can get in your lane and stay in your lane. And then lastly, with shepherds and teachers, I believe shepherds and teachers are localized. True shepherds and teachers have that home body, homegrown thing in them. Why is this important? Because people need to know that there are dependable people that are going to walk with them, that are going to be there, that aren't going to constantly be on the go, that they're going to be among them. So I think shepherds and teachers are localized because they're carrying a burden for the local assembly,
yep.
where generally speaking, apostles and prophets are carrying a burden for the body,
yep.
for the wider body of the Lord. So you see that sometimes when apostles and prophets are constantly ministering in one place, and it can wear people out.
Oh, yeah.
It can scorch people. It's like, oh, yeah. Man, you're burning me up, but they're full of this passion and the zeal. They're confronting deception that's in the wider body of the Lord that isn't present in the local assembly that they minister at. And people are like looking at each other like, what in the world? Like, I know this is a good word, but why are you preaching this here? Why do you keep banging this drum and hitting this cymbal? And like, are we doing something wrong? Or like, why are you mad? And it's like, they're just carrying that burden for the wider body because they're meant to be mobilized. Shepherds and teachers are localized. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I've lived out a lot of what you're talking about. You know, I think, man, I feel for out of my own story, maybe some people watching today or listening, you know, that kind of thing where, you know, the Lord called me as a church planner, obviously called as a prophet from, you know, my mother's womb. And I've been growing in apostolic grace as well, but I've also been trying to figure out and find my way through the call, through the grace, as I've learned and grown over the years. And I began to realize about myself, because of what the Lord's called me to bring, me in one place constantly for a long period of time is going to wear people out, because I have that awake thing in me. I have that urgency. I have that burden. And if people come and hear an alarm every week, they're going to be like, whoa, you know, I need shepherding. I need care, you know, or if I'm bringing a message of maturity or foundation and I don't really have compassion for a lot of people, I've noticed that about myself, or I've noticed how oftentimes people want me to stay in one place for all the time and don't know how to release me and don't recognize the grace on me. And I just even feel like that's a word for someone today. You're like, man, I'm totally gelling, Paul, with what you're saying. And I'm like, I'm trapped, or I'm stuck, or people around me, you know, they're not honoring me or whatever. You know, God is with you. You know, God in his timing, God will bring, I believe, Paul, with all my heart, God is saying that there are many people listening and watching this because God wants to try to connect them with us.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that boldly. Like, I just believe some people are watching this or listening to this, and they need a couple of brothers to just like, yeah, thank God. There's language, there's connection, there's a family that will help me learn and grow. Like, there's room for you.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, so come check us out. If you haven't already liked the page or listen, subscribe to the podcast, please share it with your friends. We're excited to get the language of the fivefold ministry with clear understanding out to the wider body of the Lord. We pray this blesses you and encourages you and invites you into your lane and your space and place with the Lord, where you're really walking with him according to the grace that he's given you. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the March for Eternity podcast, as we seek to bring biblical truth to this generation regarding topics such as marriage, family, and ministry. We want to give a special thank you to our ultra-global partners who make it possible for us to release fresh content such as this in order to train and equip the body of Christ around the world. If you were blessed by this episode, make sure to go to theultraglobal.com/podcast to listen to current and past episodes. God bless, and thank you for listening.